Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Navin Fluorine International Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavya Shah from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. Today on this call, we have with us Mr. Vishad Mafatlal, Chairman, Mr. Nitin Kulkarni, Managing Director, and Mr. Anish Ganatra, Chief Financial Officer of Navin Fluorine International Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number two of the investor presentation of the company, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company website. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Vishad Mafatlal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings call. I am joined by our MD, Nitin Kulkarni, our CFO, Anish Bhai, and Payal from Orient Capital, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as our company's website. I am pleased to begin by announcing that the board has decided to declare an interim dividend of rupees 5 per share. At Navin Fluorine, we are committed to operating sustainably and responsibly. This commitment is reflected in our corporate culture and strategic approach. In the last quarter, we released the second edition of Navin Fluorine's sustainability report, where we continue our journey towards sustainable excellence. Building upon the foundation laid in our inaugural report, we are proud to present our progress, achievements, and ongoing initiatives in advancing sustainability across our operations. I would request all of you to refer to our sustainability report uploaded on our website. As we move forward, I want to take this opportunity to share a broader perspective on our strategic direction. As we have mentioned, we remain committed to operational excellence, and this does not only mean optimizing our processes but also embracing innovation, enhancing productivity, and ensuring that every facet of our operations remains efficient and resilient. In line with our commitment, we have focused on maintaining disciplined execution with highest standards of safety, compliance, reliability, and efficiency. Additionally, we continue to focus on strengthening partnerships and building scalable platforms. Both Nitin and I have met our key customers across geographies in the last few months, and we will continue the engagement to deepen our partnerships. Collaboration is key to unlocking new growth opportunities, and by nurturing these relationships, we aim to create long-term value for all our stakeholders. In addition to this, a robust financial framework underpins our growth. Our net debt to equity remains below our guidance range of 0.5x. In the last few quarters, we have made efforts in optimizing the working capital cycles, ensuring robust operating cash flows. We remain focused on maintaining financial discipline, ensuring that our resources are allocated strategically, aligned with our long-term vision. We are confident about the future and the opportunities it holds. Thank you once again for your continued support. With that, let me hand over to Nitin to share our operating and business performance during the quarter.
Thank you, Vishad Bhai, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings call. We appreciate your time and continued support. I want to start by recognizing that our relationships with strategic partners are growing stronger and deeper, reflecting the collaborative approach we have developed over time. As we navigate the evolving market landscape, our key priorities remain clear: maximizing capacity utilization, improving productivity, and driving efficiencies across businesses. These priorities will guide us as we commission new projects and develop future growth opportunities. Now let me walk you through the performance of our key business verticals, starting with our high-performance product, that is HPP business. During the second quarter of FY25, the HPP business achieved 23% growth, with revenue increasing from rupees 238 crore in quarter 2 FY24 to rupees 293 crore in quarter 2 FY25. In the last quarter, all HPP assets continued to operate at optimal level. The growth is mainly attributed to higher R32 sales and better realization for R22. Additionally, the expansion of R32 capacity with a capex of rupees 84 crore is proceeding as scheduled and is expected to be completed by February 2025. Our interactions with existing and new customers giving us confidence on offtake of the upcoming capacities as these are operational. Our AHF project, which involves an investment of rupees 450 crore, is on track, and we anticipate commissioning by the end of FY2025 or early FY26. As we move forward to specialty chemical business, we experienced a decline in revenue for this business with a degrowth of 15% from rupees 185 crore in quarter 2 FY24 to rupees 158 crore in quarter 2 FY25. Sales in this sector were affected by the current global situation, leading to cautious demand behaviors amid continued competitive pressure being witnessed globally. Our strong customer relationship and strategy to drive value for our customers has started to show positive results as we speak. There is a strong visibility to order pipeline for Dahej and Surat assets that will drive improved capacity utilization and growth from Q3 onwards. We are continuing to make progress in product innovation within this vertical too. Recently, we introduced a new molecule at our Surat facility, and we are on track to launch two additional molecules in the upcoming quarter. On the capital expenditure front, our upcoming agro-speciality plant at Dahej with a planned capex of rupees 540 crores is under commissioning jointly with our customer to ensure a safe and efficient startup and commence commercial production by November 24. Simultaneously, our Surat project with an outlay of rupees 30 crore is commissioned, and the first dispatch will be in November 2024. Moving into the CDMO business, CDMO revenue has increased from rupees 48 crore in quarter 2 FY24 to rupees 68 crore in quarter 2 FY25, reflecting a growth of 41% year on year. We have a strong order visibility with firm orders for the second half of FY25. Additionally, our strategic focus on late stage and commercial molecules continues to yield positive results, with the business continuing to witness higher levels of customer inquiries than previously. We are encouraged by the traction with our European CDMO partner and the deepening of our relationship with them. Customer projections are strong for FY26. We are additionally secured order for two new late-stage intermediates which are scheduled for supply in Q4 of this year. Furthermore, we continue to make progress with our EU major and US major clients. For the EU major client, we have supplied quantity for process performance qualification for late-stage study, and for our US major client, we have received scale-up order for supplies in Q3 FY25. On the capital expenditure side, our CGMP4 project is advancing well. Phase 1 involving an outlay of rupees 160 crore is progressing as planned, and we aim to have it commissioned by end of quarter three, FY 2026. So in conclusion, our strategic initiatives, combined with continued investment in capacity expansion and product innovation, position us well to drive sustainable growth across all our business verticals. Thanks for your continued trust and support. We look forward to sharing more updates on our progress in coming quarters. Now, I would like to hand over Anish to brief you on financial performance. Over to you, Anish.
Thank you, Nitin. Good evening, all, and I welcome you all once again to the earnings call. Moving on to the financial performance of the company in Q2 and H1 FY 2025. Quarterly performance. We reported revenues of 519 crores in Q2 FY 2025, an increase of 10% year-on-year, led by an increase in revenue from our HPP and CDMO businesses. Operating EBITDA for Q2 FY 2025 was approximately 107 crores, an increase of 9% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 20.7%, as against 20.8% in Q2 of FY 2024, and improving sequentially from 19.2% in Q1 of FY 2025, reflecting higher realizations in HPP, as also benefits from efficiencies secured within the businesses. Profit after tax in Q2 FY 2025 stood at 58.8 crores, as against 60.6 crores in Q2 FY 2024, and 51.2 crores in Q1 of FY 2025. Half-yearly performance. For H1 FY 2025, on a consolidated basis, the company reported net operating revenue of 1,042 crores, as against rupees 963 crores in H1 FY 2024, reflecting a growth of 8%. Operating EBITDA stood at 208 crores, as against rupees 213 crores in H1 FY 2024, down by 2%. Operating EBITDA margin for H1 stood at 19.9%, as against 22.1% in the same period last year. Profit after tax in H1 FY 2025 stood at 110 crores, as against 122.1 crore in H1 FY 2024, a decrease of 10%. We continue to ensure a tight financial framework while driving growth. As at 30th September, our net debt to equity stands at 0.39, well within our guidance range of 0.5, and reflects the strength of our balance sheet. Operating net working capital days at the end of 30th September is approximately 104 days of sales. That's all from my side. We can now open up the lines for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Two questions from me. Firstly, on the specialty chemicals, just wanted to understand, you know, what gives us the confidence of the visibility or the improved visibility for the second half, given that, you know, we have seen some deferrals in the past. So could you just give some color in terms of what's changed in terms of the conversations that you're having with your customers?
So, you know, to give you the feedback, you know, these are, you know, the firm numbers, because we have entered, you know, into the supply understanding, you know, for most of, you know, the spec pair molecules, you know, which we are talking, you know, for the not only quarter three, quarter four, you know, but, you know, for the calendar year 2025. So, you know, based on, you know, our existing capacities, you know, we managed, you know, to speak and, you know, entered into the understanding with the customers, and that has helped us, you know, to address, you know, our three products, you know, which are, you know, one of the, I will say, high volume, high value products, to enter into, you know, the supplies including, you know, quarter three, quarter four, you know, for, and, you know, the balance of, you know, the calendar 2025. So what we are talking over here is not, you know, any assumptions, you know, but based on, you know, the firm orders which we have received.
Sure, sir. And just a clarification on this, in terms of these orders, are these multi-year orders, or because you're saying you have the visibility even in calendar 25, correct?
Correct. So, you know, the there is a basket of products where, you know, we have received, you know, the visibility along with, you know, the PO till calendar year 2025. And based on that, you know, we are, you know, giving the feedback to you.
Just to add, I mean, I'm just complimenting what Nitin said there, Vivek. If you look at what Nitin mentioned, it's covering not only Surat assets, but also the Dahej assets. You know, we talk of the MPP and the dedicated agro plant. We have line of visibility to their full order book, not just for the remainder of this year, but going into next year.
Sure, sir. That's great to hear. And the second question was on CDMO. I know it's difficult to, you know, give a clear number over here, but given that, you know, you're making traction with, you know, both your European client and the US client, and obviously you have some two new molecules, could you just give us a sense of what is the trajectory we should expect for the second half of this year, as well as, you know, going into, you know, fiscal 26 in terms of how these would ramp up?
So again, on the CDMO front, Vivek, the order book is again based on the discussions that Nitin and Vishad Bhai have had with the customer. And again, you know, we should look to at least a like-for-like Q3, but a very strong Q4 and going forward even stronger.
Sure, so that's super helpful. I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I got three questions from all the three segments. First, on the CDMO, if I remove the domestic, which I believe is a supply for the European client, the rest of the business doesn't look very exciting at under 30 crores of revenue. What's happening on that initial stage? Has that completely been defocused? How are we looking at that part of the business? A connected question is that now we have multiple order book, one to the supply European client, two late stage product to be supplied in Q3, Q4, one scale-up project for an US client. So it appears to be jumbled up. Do we have capacity to meet all these orders requirement on time? So that's on the CDMO. On the specialty, domestic suddenly has shown a sharp improvement quarter on quarter. I thought we were defocusing the domestic pharma part of business and largely focusing on the agrochemical and the fine side of the business. What has driven this domestic revenue growth in the specialty part of it? And the third question on HPP, Nitin, I guess you mentioned in your opening remark that we have reached optimal capacity. Is it fair to assume that until the new capacity on R22 comes, it's only pricing which will drive the incremental growth in the HPP?
I think, yeah.
So Sanjesh, thanks for your question, Sanjesh. On CDMO, again, your question about capacity and to look at whether we can meet the orders. I think, again, you know, this we've timed the entire project of GMP4 coming in alongside considering what capacities are needed. One. Second, on the order other than the, you know, the large CDMO, European CDMO, your question around the fact that, you know, are you de-emphasizing early stage? So the answer to that is no, we're not de-emphasizing, but obviously the commercial molecules will start to occupy greater pie because their volume is large, right? I mean, that's the very nature. That's the precise reason why we are going into that business, right? And so it's not de-emphasizing, but it's balancing. And like we've always said, that you will see a proportion of 60% odd coming from commercial going forward. But remember, the pie size grows bigger, not smaller. So that's what will come in over there. On the specialty side, the domestic revenue, some of it is very opportunistic. We saw an opportunity to do some of the old molecules that we were doing in the pharma, and we picked it up in the current market scenario. So that is there. Plus, also, we supply to local customers on behalf of large global players. So some of that also plays into the domestic pie. I wouldn't read over there any different message because, as Nitin has mentioned before, on the spec chem side, both Surat and Dahej, we are witnessing and we are seeing a very strong order book in hand in the Q3 and Q4.
Yeah. Just to add to that, Sanjesh, to be very frank with you, I failed to pick up that how you arrived that only domestic sales has given us the betterment because basically, most of the spec chem business, I think the major portion is for the exports as well as the products which we supply in the domestic market. Those are also as a part of the supply chain. So there are a couple of products which are in the supply chain which normally gets exported. So this is everything is triggered off more than 70% of the business into the agro space only, and that too also with the innovators. So pharma, there is a very small portion of this particular revenue, that too also of the one of the traditional molecule which customer requested us to restart the operations. So absolutely, as far as the spec chem business is concerned, the growth which we have observed in Q2 or whatever we have done and what we are talking in Q3, Q4, and forward is based on the existing global agrochemical customers which are already working with us and to whom we are giving these products. As far as your point of the R22 expansions concern, is it about 22 or 32?
I'm telling you.
Huh?
No. So your point, so Sanjesh, please repeat your question if you don't mind.
Yeah.
The
HPP.
I said that we have optimized the capacity utilization on most of the product is what Nitin said in his opening remark. That means until the new R32 capacity comes in, it is only pricing which can drive the growth in that sector.
No, no. So new R32 is absolutely a new capacity that will come in. Also, as we've mentioned before, remember on the HFO project, we've always said that what we are doing today is we've got the plant running to optimal capacity. That's still meeting about 80% of the demand. So there is growth over there too, right? So there is stuff happening on that front. Plus, even within the R32, there are options to build which we are working on to debottleneck and get greater capacities. But that's still work in progress. So it will be pricing and volume growth.
Exactly. Plus, we are putting up this R32 CapEx, which you are already aware, which is going to come in the Q4 of the FY25. So based on the visibility, what we see with respect to volumes and price, definitely this is going to drive the future growth.
Just one follow-up on all those answers. Anish, you said that cGMP-4 will help us, but I was more asking from the second half of FY25. Now we have to deliver so many four products. Do we have capacity from?
No. So Sanjesh, again, these products are campaign-driven, so their quantities tend to be smaller. The commercial stage products that we talked about are actually study stage products. We clarified that even last time, right? Those are being worked. So those volumes will come in. There will be even more RFPs that we are receiving, as also Nitin mentioned in his commentaries. So there is work that will carry on, but there is no concern on the capacity and the growth. If you remember what we've done in Q4 of FY23, if I remember, that number is significantly high just with the current base. So we are not really concerned on the capacity side there. Of course, our idea, because of the continuous growth in the business that you're looking for, you will have a CGMP4 that will largely, as we've talked at the site visit, phase one will get virtually dedicated to the European CDMO player. The other capacities will continue to fuel the growth for new pipeline coming in and, also phase two of CGMP4.
That's clear. Thanks, Nitin. Thanks, Anish Bhai, for answering all those.
Thanks, Sanjesh.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have two questions. Firstly, on the specialty chemical business, when we say that we have strong visibility into second half of FY25, does that mean that if you compare it to the last year of the second half, we are looking at year-over-year growth coming back for us? Because first half has been obviously impacted by the industry level challenges which everyone's facing.
No, yes, indeed. Remember, we shared our way and approach in the spec chem business, and particularly, both Nitin and Vishad Bhai have been very clear how we need to respond to the current market scenario, and that has started to play and show success. So I think you should expect to see a year-on-year growth coming through.
And this is what we are talking is based on, the POs and the firm orders which we have in hand.
Okay. The second half specialty chemical you're saying can grow over last year. Okay.
Yes.
And,
correct.
My second question was on the CDMO business. Given that we are addressing pipeline molecules of pharma customers, innovator customers, would it just a suggestion? Could we start giving this in the presentation? How many molecules we have in different phases, like phase one, phase two, phase three? And how many are in, process of registration, just as a disclosure, so it just becomes easier for us to track it every quarter.
Point taken.
So total number of molecules that we are addressing in just the phase-wise schedule.
So we don't see typically the number of molecules. I mean, we've shared a couple of key material ones. If you remember, Madhav, when we spoke, when we started sharing this, the idea was and the intent was to show how our strategy is working across the globe. Therefore, we shared the geographies and the most material molecules that we think today are potential molecules, right? There are several others we are working for, but each of these are different chemistries. We don't count or monitor the business in that sense, to look at the number of molecules in different stages, etc. Our bigger thing that we are focused on is ensuring that the pie grows and the proportion of the pie starts to look more like 60-40, 65-35, between let's say
I understand that. I'm just saying that given that this is a CRAMS or a CDMO business for innovative pharma customers, that's how the peers disclose in India, if you look at some of the other names. So it's just helpful for us to maybe make a comparison.
We'll think about it, so point taken. But that's not how we internally look at. But point taken.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead. Hello, Mr. Abhijit. Your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So just one clarification first regarding the CDMO outlook for the second half. Anishpa, if I heard you correctly, based on the order book, we expect at least a flattish third quarter year over year, followed by a very strong fourth quarter, and then even stronger in FY26. I hope I got that correctly.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take, Abhijit.
Okay, got it. And both for CDMO for, say, fiscal 26 as well as specialty chemicals, given the kind of order visibility you have, would you be able to help us with some sort of, percentage growth guidance for fiscal 26?
So we don't give guidance. I've given you directionally, but unfortunately, I won't be able to give you guidance.
Okay. Then just on the 540 crore project, how much the timeline seems to have slipped a little bit. We're not talking about November. It does seem to have slipped since, it previously envisaged, I think, for December last year. So what exactly is the issue there? Is there any technical problems or is it just market environment? And then how much revenue can we expect from it in fiscal 25, given that we only have 4 or 5 months now left to deliver?
So this is Nitin. So you know, just to give you the you know answer about the market or you know the PO, you know, absolutely, you know, there is no problem. And we have, you know, the existing, you know, PO in hand, you know, for, you know, the customer, you know, with whom we are doing this project. And they are also partnering with us, you know, for the technology support. So this is one of the most complex and, you know, the high-end technology. And there are multiple, you know, touch points, you know, to really bring it, you know, to the optimization levels and, you know, to reach, you know, to the process efficiencies. So far, everything has progressed quite well. Of course, you know, as you also know, during, you know, the startups, you know, the way we faced, you know, problem, you know, during Orchid time, similar type of, you know, challenges which we are facing, which we have addressed, you know, quite well. And everything is, you know, now moving into the right direction. So there are, you know, some, as you rightly said, delays. But those delays are not, you know, where we are stuck somewhere or, you know, we are clueless. Absolutely, you know, we are bang on, you know, as far as, you know, the progress of, you know, the, I will say, stabilization concern. And as we said, that, you know, November is the month, you know, when you will start, you see, you know, that we have started, you know, dispatching and producing, you know, this product.
Got it, Nitin. Just last question, if I may, before I get back in the queue. One is for the non-dedicated portion of that contract, which I presume you will start supplying commercially next year, will the margin profile be, you know, materially sort of more dilutive compared to the dedicated portion? What sort of margin profile should we work with?
Abhijit, again, you know, for the non-dedicated portion, when it comes in, we will have to remain competitive to the market, you know. And whatever that is, we will remain competitive. I mean, I think the work that the team is doing here is absolutely focusing on making sure that the plant comes up efficiently and reliably. And part of the reason why the effort is being put on making sure that it comes in the right way is to ensure the reliability remains high, and therefore we are able to have, you know, good norms, good yields, good outcomes, which will help us also to remain
competitive.
Yeah, it's true for all seasons, right? I mean, no matter what the market is, ultimately, if you're the last man standing, then you are likely to remain profitable no matter what. So that's our intent. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay, so got it. The Surat, 30 crore CapEx, what would the revenue potential from that be? Just that's the last thing from us.
One second, we will answer. Okay, so
The peak revenue is about 50 odd crores. We'll start with the campaigns in this year from the product, and it's starting in this quarter itself, actually. And we'll slowly ramp it up over the next sort of 1.5 year or so.
Just to add to what Anish said, you know, so this already, you know, project commission, we have started, you know, the operations. And from next month, you know, you will find, you know, the deliveries. And for this particular CapEx and the product, we again, you know, like, you know, my other comments, we got, you know, the firm PO in hand, you know, for the next year, you know, complete.
Also, Abhijit, remember, this is not a dedicated plant, so it's an extra capability we've introduced in Surat. So how we optimize and run that asset will also depend on other competing push for that capacity, yeah?
Understood. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on, you know, the customer's feedback and your, you know, comment on the overall order book, especially for the specialty chemical business. This order book visibility, which is both from Q3, Q4, as well as for the next financial year, is it largely led by the new products that we were doing with the global innovators? or the older product portfolio and seeing some recovery in terms of demand there?
So Ankur, this is basically a mix of both. And rather, I will say, you know, the old molecules as well as, you know, means we are talking of, you know, all three old molecules, you know, order visibility is there. Rather, you know, it is better, you know, than, you know, what we have seen, you know, in the current financial year. And, you know, it is reciprocated, you know, in the orders or, you know, in the contracts also. So it is basically what we are talking is, you know, you can say 50-50% blend, you know, between the new products, which, you know, we have launched, you know, in last 6 to 8 months, plus, you know, what, you know, we are talking about this 30 crore project, plus, you know, the traditional molecules for which, you know, we have already the capacities in hand.
I think the thing to bear in mind there, Ankur, is also a fact that we've said about the Dahej assets, which you should think of, you know, about, so this includes both Surat and Dahej, but specifically for Dahej, you should think of the MPP and the dedicated agro. And in both those cases, you have the PAR numbers, right, already with you. So when we are talking of a strong order book, we are virtually saying of how much increase and, you know, good utilization of that capacity will start to come through. So it's a combination of everything.
Sure, Anish. That's helpful there. Second bit on the CDMO demand, which you had highlighted, you know, so if I just clarifying there, while the phase one of the new CGMP4 will be dedicated for the earlier contract that we have, in between the new products that we launched, it will be more on campaign based. In the longer term, these products will get probably used or will be getting manufactured in CGMP phase 4. CGMP 4 phase 2.
So it's a bit premature on where they will eventually scale up. But as you know, the pipeline for registration of projects, etc., is quite elongated in this business, right? So where we are doing is these are late stage molecules. They are still in study phase. And the idea is to continuously build our pipeline. So while we are growing and deepening our relationship with European CDMO, some of these promising molecules also we hope, and this is just, you know, at this stage all I can say, you know how the risk profile in that business is, right? So the idea here is that one of these will come in, and like we've talked at the site visit also, the fact that these are late stage and they are all innovator, they are all blockbusters. So not necessarily all will come. One could come, not necessarily even one could come. We don't know that yet today. But the idea is that it does take time for them to get to the scale-up position, you know. And if you remember, even for the European CDMO molecule, we had said that the work actually on that had started 2 years ago, if you remember. So there is enough sort of headroom available for us to continue doing what we are doing in the capacities we have. You know, 1, 2 and 3 is also a good size capacity. You know, the potential for that is also quite good. Phase 1, when we say dedicated, we think we are actually dedicating in terms of allocating it to Fermion. And, you know, and then phase 2 comes in when some of these mature, yeah?
Sure, Anish. And just last one, if I may, you know, we did mention our focus to gain volume, bring in efficiencies and sort of, you know, scale up the capacity utilization across all plants. And at the same time, you know, our guidance on the margin front, guidance or let's say directionally, we are looking at a 25% sort of a margin outlook. Will this, you know, the bridge over here, will it largely be because of the shift in product mix, revenue mix more skewed towards specialty and CDMO, or there is some bit of pricing element uptake as well that we are, you know, building in our broad assumption?
It's a basket of things. See where we are. We had said that, if you remember when we had hit, I think it was Q3 of last year when we did the 15% margin, we had talked of our journey from 15 to 20, 20 to 25, you know. I think we are well on track on that journey, and it will slowly and progressively get to that target number. Our intent is to get there in a sustainable manner. You know, that's the main thing.
Sure. That's helpful, Anish. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Anubhav Sahu from MacPro Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So one is on European CDMO agreement. which I remember back, it's a 3-year supply agreement starting from calendar year 25, which you also have mentioned that from Q4 24 we would be starting supply of 2 intermediates. So these 2 intermediates which you have mentioned, are they the additional one than the original 3 molecules we talked about? So does it change in terms of the number of molecules which we are catering to this point?
So these two new ones are actually 2 new molecules, as the name suggests, you know, so that's what we intend to say. You're right on that. And the 3-year agreement is renewable automatically. So, you know, as we've said before, that this particular end stage molecule, that the drug that will come, is patented all the way in most geographies till 2035 and beyond.
Okay. Second part for this is the timeline of supplies. I mean, though you kind of, you know, took this question earlier, but still just trying to understand that because they would be a dedicated facility, CGMP, for this client. So is the supply is going to be more back-ended in some way?
So remember when I said dedicated facility, we call it dedicated because in our capacity allocation, we are taking that particular capacity is required for something like this at its peak, right? Before that, of course, you know, the plants are fungible. You know, we've got capability and flexibility to deliver that growth as it progresses to that peak, even from 1, 2, and 3. So the sales will start. In fact, the sales have already been there. I mean, you know, I think someone on the call before referred to the supplies domestically for the same molecule, right? So that is already in the process. It's not like we've not done the dispatches under that contract.
Okay. But the commercial one will start from Q4. This is what you mentioned.
Sorry.
The commercial supply will start from Q4. Is that the case?
No. The commercial supply for the European CDMO MSA is already started. Okay. It's already started. We have now firmer order positions, which I am saying will show you the growth in Q4 and in the coming quarters.
Okay. My last question is on the, I'm just trying to understand the demand supply dynamics in specialty. Just trying to have a perspective from you that which is the bigger factor, whether it is a moderation in demand or, you know, China dumping and other reasons, or is there still a case for channel inventory rationalization? Which of these three, which is the more concern factor for us right now?
Okay, so I think again, channel inventory in our view is like a dead horse. Yeah, there's too much beating going on that. I think we have to recognize the fact that, and we, as we've said this before, you know, that this market means that in a strategic relationship, you have to work closely with your partners. We were early to recognize that, and we have played that to our strength, you know. So as we've talked and established our equations with the customers, we have agreed that, you know, we will remain part of their supply chain, work with them on delivering the products, you know, and like I said, there will be a reduction in pricing, but the absolute EBITDA will be protected or increased because we've now got higher capacities that we are committing to them.
Okay, understood. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer questions from all participants in the conference room, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Dhara from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
So my first question was on the subsidiary. So if I do control minus standalone, your subsidiary has reported a 15% YOY decline on revenues. This is the subsidiary from where you're doing all the new projects. So if you can help us understand what is driving the 15% degrowth on the top line.
Yeah, so again, on the subsidiary, and this is what I was saying before, you know, the Specialty business, we've seen a difficult time, you know, and obviously, you know, Q2 has seen that, you know, not all our capacities are utilized well. But that's exactly what we are talking about, that we were early to recognize that this would be the situation. And we've taken corrective actions, which now are giving us line of sight into Q3 and beyond for higher level of capacity utilization and the conversation we've just shared, you know, Nitin, myself, and Mishapai.
But these are all new projects that you have executed, the 195 crore CAPEX, the dedicated project, the Honeywell project, everything sits here. So if you could specifically call out where the underperformance is.
So Honeywell project, as again we've said, is actually doing quite okay. You know, it's we've said there's no problem there. The 80% is there. You know, I've talked about the 80% capacity over there, and that's not because where our issues are. Our issues on the plant are fully behind us. We have tested the plant to run at 100 or even higher 100. So we have that in place, right? The Honeywell order book will increase as time goes by. We are already seeing interest rates being softened. You know, the industry on the construction side will boom. This is one of the end users of the product, so that will come in. On the spec chem side, it's market related, the market dynamics, and like I said before, we recognized it and we responded to it to come back out of it and come back out of it strongly.
Sure, thank you. The second question that I have is on the European CDMO contract. Sorry, I'm harping on this question again. But as I understand, the CGMP for the 160 crore CAPEX will take care of the larger ramp-up of this project with European CDMO. But if you have to put a number to FY25 that you'll be doing in your existing CGMP 1, 2, 3, what sort of revenue potential?
I won't put a number to it, but if you look at our, you know, in the CGMP or in this particular business, and when we've talked about the CAPEX, we've talked of peak annual revenues at 2x of CAPEX. So you should look at the peak annual revenue. That will come in over time, yeah? I'm not going to give a guidance of which year and when. But I've already, there is a guidance out there of the 100 million by FY27. We stand to it. Yeah?
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, one of the competitors has announced that they are planning new HFO capacity in India. So what is our dialogue with Honeywell? As I think earlier we were contemplating of debottlenecking the capacity and maybe subsequently doubling the capacity for which we have kept the space at the Dahej. So what is the current status and what could be the roadmap for the same? Thank you.
So Rohit, again, you know, I will not be able to talk of the rationale of what the competitor may have announced. All I can tell you is that our conversations with Honeywell, with like any other strategic customers, are continuing, ongoing, and there is always opportunities that we are exploring to deepen. But, you know, at this stage, I can't talk about the debottlenecking or anything, because as these projects will come up, you know, we will sort of, discuss with the customer and also, you know, once the internal commercials, etc. are clear, then we talk about it with the board. Once approved, then we come out of it. The other thing to remember also, you know, whether there's new capacity coming in for HFO, the market for this is always going to increase. It's not shrinking. So, you know, there's enough space for everyone in that.
Sure. That's helpful. And second question is, you just mentioned that for the CDMO, we still have the target of $100 million in FY27. So what could be the contours of the same, given that FY25 will be having closer to, say, $40 million plus, and we are contemplating almost 2.5x increase in next 2 years. Thank you.
So, I mean, again, I think we've said a lot for you to do the math, because if the first phase of CGMP4 at 160 is going to give you 2x revenue, you know where that is coming from. And obviously, we've had track record of doing the base business at a certain level, you know. And like we said, there were certain molecules that have not come in the past, will come in the future. That optimism and that assurance is still remaining. Simultaneously, Nitin and the team are also working deeply to extend the reach of our relationship with the customers, both new customers and deeper. So there's a combination of things, including the ones that we've shared with you, some of the molecules that we are working on in late stage. You know, late stage molecules have a risk profile. That risk profile is relatively low compared to early stages, right? So some of them will work. You know, there's a portfolio effect that will play out on all of this.
This is helpful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Reshma Jain from DSP Asset Managers. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, the current participant has been disconnected. We'll move on to the next participant. It's from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICIC Prudential. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. First, on the growth side, so FY25, now since this 540 crore project is commissioned with some delay, so the growth in this specialty chemical would be driven by this 190 crore capex MPP. And if that is so, then if you could just talk about number of molecules or what kind of utilization it is working at. And second, is it fair to assume that next year's growth would be largely driven by two key segments? I mean, one, ramp up of this 540 crore project, and second is very cost question.
Sorry, I lost you there. What did you say second was, Keo?
So one is ramp up of this 540 crore project, and second is CDMO. For the next year,
I don't think that's correct. See, all our verticals, I mean, if you look at the growth we've done in HPP and the further growth potential that even exists in the base business, and I'm not even talking about new R32 that's coming in, right? So you've got new R32 that's coming in. You've got AHF that is going to come in next year. So that will also start trickling into the revenue and the growth. So our pillars of growth are very strong in HPP. Spec Chem, I think we've already given you a good purview of what we see in Q3, Q4 and beyond. And CDMO, again, we've given you. So actually the growth will come from all three verticals, you know.
Just one follow-up. So on the current project, so the MPP of 190 crore project, how would be the utilization? I think the revenue potential around 270 to 80 crore. If you can just talk about what number of molecules or the revenue run rate that which are which we are.
So in the MPP molecule, MPP plant, particularly around capacity utilization, see, when we last spoke, I said capacity in MPP very difficult to define in tonnage terms. But in terms of value, you know, we've talked about saying that MPP would be somewhere around, you know, we would be in the range of about 70%, 75% in terms of the peak annual revenue. But of course, as we go into the next year and coming year, given the other visibility that we have, we expect that to increase. Plus, we also use the MPP to continuously do new molecules. And part of the reason for doing those new molecules is to actually keep the pipeline strong so that you are able to utilize your own assets and also use that as a decision making if you wanted to make further investments into it.
Noted. Just last question and second question. So on the capex side, capex for FY25 and 26 and the areas of capex. Thank you and all the best.
So the capexes that will continue into 25 and 26 of what I can tell you now are only the board approved projects, which are R32, AHF and the CGMP4. Yeah. Those are continuing. Like we said before, there are several projects we are working on in the hopper. Some of that will mature and we do hope to look at progressing at least one of those options by middle of next year. Middle to late middle, this is just rough indication, yeah. And that's to fuel the growth beyond 27 as we are talking about. Does that help, Keo?
You Keo gone.
Yes, actually, sir, Keo has been disconnected. We will move on to the next question. It's from the line of Arjit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question on CDMO. While we have discussed a lot of permutations around the $100 million target that we have for the business segment, what would be the significance and the roadmap that we expect for the US major and the UK major that we have been dealing with? How would be the nature of that business? Would it be campaign-based or do we expect something significant, let's say, in a 2-3 year timeline?
It will progress. It's very difficult to give you that timeline, and that's the reason why we work with a hopper of products over there. You know, so it's not just these two, but there are others as well. These two currently look most promising, but again, you know, that's all I can tell you today, you know. But which one, what will come out, very difficult for me to second guess that, Archit.
Would it be fair to assume that these will be some of the important or let's say significant ones while we are considering the $100 million number, given that...
So think of it this way. I mean, I would answer your question in another way. I mean, if you look at FY23, I think our revenues were in the range of about 350 odd crores, right? And that was with neither Fermion nor the European CDMA, nothing, right? So if you just extrapolate that, the potential of the business is there for you. You know, we have reinvigorated the business development teams. There's a lot of direct involvement from Nitin and his and the CDMO business leadership in this area. There will be growth. It doesn't have to depend on just one or two of these molecules, if you know what I mean. It depends on the overall macro in the industry, and we know the macro in the industry. With the BioSecure Act, that you know, there is greater emphasis for the large players to look at optionality other than China, and India tends to be more competitive in that space once you step out of China.
Sure, sir. Got it. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. In the interest of time, we will take the last question from Nitesh Tu from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry if I am repeating this question, but the CDMO revenue moves, has moved significantly in favor of India at 61%.
Nitesh, I, it's sounding all jumbled up. Maybe you'll have to either come closer to the microphone or talk slowly.
And loudly.
So is it any better?
Yeah, better. Just go slow.
Yeah, sure. I was asking on the CDMO revenue mix that has moved significantly in favor of India at 61%. Is it to do with the increase in the late stage molecules and this is how it will be going forward?
No, I don't think you should be looking into that. That supply into India is at the behest of a global customer. So that's just being supplied today to India. It may continue to India. The proportion will change, we know for sure. It's also an equation of the registration timeline. And I think we've shared that before as well, Nitesh. I think you were at Devas, right? So,
just one more question that's on the finance cost. So what I see is that the net debt has increased by over 20% year on year, but the interest cost has gone down by around 20%.
No, so net. Sorry, did you say net debt has increased by 20%?
That's year on year. I mean, if I'm looking Q2 to Q2.
Okay. So if I look at March to now, right? If you look at March to now, our debt hasn't increased that much. But, you know, to point you on your finance question, I think I know where you're coming from. You're looking at the interest cost, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So, see, what happens, Nitesh, over there is our project loans that we take. Some of these project loans are generic project loans. And in the early stages of the projects, you know, a lot of the allocation happens between the projects and the GST associated with CapEx. But as you know, the GST on CapEx is a working capital item which gets unwound at a later stage. So earlier, the amount of projects, the interest cost that is attributed to the non-fixed asset type expense but still CapEx in nature hits the P&L. And now as your spend increases towards the fixed assets itself, that gets allocated to capital. That's the way to think about it. Yeah?
Hello.
Oh, did we lose it? Sorry.
Hello, Mr. Nitesh. Did this answer your question? Sir, the current participant has been disconnected. As this was the last question, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
All right. So thank you all for the time today. On behalf of Vishad Bhai, Nitin and the management of Naveen, I would like to wish everybody a very happy Diwali and also, of course, Payal. Couldn't miss you, Payal. Yeah. So again, happy Diwali to you and your families, and stay connected. Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Naveen Fluorine International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.